Greetings, Be Aware people. Welcome to Be Aware Nation, a corporation for evolution. We invite you to interact with us as we explore, develop, and synthesize awareness throughout layered living. We're evolutionizing the way people think, feel, and deal by merging medias into minds that matter. Being aware is a state to put your mind in. Join us as we consciously work to adapt the frameworks, models, and structures that make up all of our present-day operating systems and ownership models. We're here to fully explore the realm of where the ethereal becomes the material. Be Aware Nation is guided by the wisdom of the human spirit, utilizing the laws of science.
Greetings, Be Aware people. Welcome. This is Sally Lutzer, joining me, Barry Lutzer, and we are here at Be Aware Nation, where being aware is indeed a state to put your mind in. So welcome on this beautiful day of February 24th, 2008, and shall we begin? Hi, Barry.
Hello, Be Aware people. Hello, Sally. We're here today to celebrate being aware again. This is really a lovely time where an early spring starts to show itself and really indicate how the new awakenings and the new life is sprouting forth and springing out in brand new ways. It's really something to really be excited about, to be thrilled with, and to be inspired by. Really, today is when we look out our eyes, almost anywhere we look, we can see trial and travail. We can see hardship. We can see all types of difficulties that people face in mounting a campaign to just live equitably in life today. The stresses and forces that are in play today that have caused humanity to really reach deeper and farther for the resources necessary to find the kind of operational integrity and operational balance that is necessary to find the kind of sustainability that we've probably been looking for since the beginning of time. We just didn't know to call it that. Today's sustainability is really a term that is used to describe almost all kinds of functionality within the human dynamic. It really describes the kind of responsibility that goes along with being human today, that no matter what it is we are up to or how we're up to it, sustainability begins to be a term that we can use to frame almost the theory of everything. How do we garner a relationship with the theory of everything if sustainability is not our core basic operating principle? So today, the whole idea of being aware really is something to look at in a brand new sort of context. The nature of the challenges that we face as the human family in merging ourselves into a true global union, a true global sort of cooperative framework that engages all of the aspects of what true human commerce means. How do we reach to a level of engagement that frames our opportunities to truly enrich each other's humanity? These are all challenges that are really present when we look out these eyes and see the kinds of trials and travails we see today. And that's really been the focus of what we are up to here at Be Aware Nation Radio, and certainly it's the core operating principle at Be Aware Nation, where we say that being aware is a state to put your mind in for a very significant reason, because it's about coming to understand how these various layers of life, of the living system itself in process, how the universe reflects its own operating principles, its own ethos, its own intentions. How does that mirror in our daily lives? And how do we become aware of the implications of how it does so? And so a lot of the past shows that we've had have really been about exploring the general nature of this. And so today we're really going to try to look at the idea of recapping where we've been and what we've been speaking about in reference to this, but also within the context of where we are within this moment of time and how we exist today in terms of the world we live in. We are operating in a sort of monumental moment where this whole concept that we've been speaking about, where merging medias into minds that matter, where a mind that matters has become preeminent on so many levels, where the whole idea of awareness has filtered into so much of our daily living processes. It's like being green. Being aware is almost like being green. And so how does awareness define us? And today, in a broad context, one of the things that we really want to begin to highlight and focus upon is to try to bring some measure of understanding to this ideal and idea of, is being aware a religion? Is awareness itself a part of science, or is it a part of spirit? What is the true function of any religion? Today we look and see that the way in which we live our lives in accordance with the belief systems we possess define for us the ways in which we engage these ongoing challenges, these trials, these travails, these forces that are in play that look as if they're conspiring to keep us from our goal. They look as if they're conspiring to keep us from achieving the kind of balance and equity and joy and happiness that comes from simply being alive. And so what is the season in which we find ourselves that mirrors that universal ethos of a renewal, where we are sprouting forth anew, where those sprouts of spirit show up bright and enlivened with the newness and the opportunity of literally describing and defining our experience anew. And the ways in which our language has evolved and continues to evolve to describe and define our new ways of living, our new ways of being aware, take us beyond the boundaries, the known experiential pages of any doctrine or book that has defined for us previously a belief system or a framework of laying down a codified rule of life that signifies to us how to achieve the kind of equity and balance present in the challenges and trials and travails that we face today. Is the systems by which we have always followed enough to deliver us today the kind of plausible functionality that we need, each and every one of us, to bring that kind of fullness to bear for ourselves, our families, our communities? We're having a new opportunity to define ourselves. We're having a new opportunity to define our families in the world in which we find ourselves. We're having a new opportunity to define anew the kind of communities that we want to see created and crafted out of this new awareness, out of this new ability to define and describe what it is we want to see, what it is we want our experience of being, our experience of being aware, our experience of living. What does that bring us outside the pages of the book? How do we define our experience beyond Bible, beyond the basis of a book meant to describe our ethereal euphoria as it plays out in our daily doings. These are the challenges. So how, within the midst of the ongoing requirements of finding ourselves in the morass of the daily doings that look like they're challenging, that look like the trials and travails continue to mount, how do we discover a new way of describing for ourselves that this is the opportunity we've been waiting for, that this is the time and place to create the new way of being? And so that's literally, how do we acknowledge ourselves? And here we find ourselves in the award season, that media, in describing our lives, remember, with life imitating art or art imitating life, the same is true. There's an award for it. There's an award of merit when one shines a light brightly and robustly in living technicolor so that many people can appreciate the qualities that that piece of media describes in terms of this way of living. And so we look at, how do we give awards? What are we awarding? What is the award, literally, for being aware? How do we bestow that award? Who bestows that award? Is the award for being aware bestowed from someone else?
Well, typically an award, if we want to talk about language, and we so often take for granted the words we use, and we have an assumptive meaning that we project, and yet that meaning can change even within our own usage of it, our own context that we choose to use it. And so we have to be very careful in creating this new language where we speak of awareness about the common acceptance of a word and what the societal agreement has been about it. I mean, an award is something given to a person or a group of people, typically to recognize excellence in a certain field. And they're signified by the typical trophy or certificate or plaque or medal or badges. And sometimes it involves money, like the Nobel Prize, for instance. And they can be given by any person or an institution. And then you talk about, well, who actually creates the award? Who determines the award? Is the award, again, when we talk about media and our growing distrust of the traditional media machine, how it's all programmed to feed us the information that they want us to have, has an award in itself become subject to the same corruption by the people who choose to bestow the award on somebody? Do we really have transparency? And so many people say, I don't like awards, I don't believe in awards, all the way from youth awards on up to corporate awards or even this Nobel Peace Prize. You know, who is there transparency? Can we truly believe that the recipient, was it a pure award in that sense? And so it comes back to our own sense of an award for an awareness, an award that we bestow upon ourselves or our collective community for excelling in having the courage to be aware. Because I think we know that many people find that awareness being a full-time state of consciousness requires a tremendous amount of discipline, and sometimes this societal feedback for awareness, it doesn't sit well, because with awareness comes an observation, which therefore brings a perception which may not be the normal perception of those would like you to articulate, and therefore they think that you're being negative or against the grain in your observations, which come through your knowing or awareness. You're a contrarian, if you will, in many instances of heightened awareness, because you're seeing through the veils. And therefore, when you see through the veil, you see who's behind the curtain in your world. And so you're stating that. And we spend an awful lot of time, and I use the word awful because it is awful, how much time we spend creating this magician sort of ruse of hiding the truth, of soft-pedaling our observations so that we can therefore fit in and be accepted. And you test the awareness of children. You know, they're quickly told when they're too perceptive or they see a truth in their just beauty of their innocence, oh, no, 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 we don't say that in public. We don't do that in public. And so we know how the system can squash that beautiful little mind that's just beginning to flourish through its observations and through its true, pure knowing. And so, you know, it's sort of full circle about an award and people's somewhat attraction and also their reticence to an award, wouldn't you say?
Well, it's an interesting dilemma that, you know, what it's the carrot and the stick in terms of, you know, human development. And what is it that compels people to act? There's a lot of...
And let me just interrupt that. You know, we are talking about award season, meaning that today, of course, is the Academy Awards, and I don't know how many 1 billion people are going to see it on television.
You're 1 billion.
Yeah. So 1 billion people are fascinated by celebrity, fascinated by entertainment, fascinated by media, fascinated by celebrity again getting an award. Wow, that's even, you know, a celebrity is one thing, but a celebrity getting an award against other celebrities. So,
well, and I think at the core it does speak to, you know, it's where competition itself has really held its own in terms of being a, you know, playground wherein the human dynamic gets played out. The significance of where competition is compelling is what draws upon our innate qualities, our innate talents, our fundamental strengths, our superhuman qualities that show up when called upon under stress and need. And so putting ourselves into competitive environments to propel these forces and to compel ourselves to act when indeed we may find it so much easier outside the realm where those competitive forces are at their peak, you don't see people striving as hard, reaching as far. And so how competition has held sway and enabled the whole realm of warism to be preeminent in most systems today stems from the allure that competition itself provides and delivers a particular sense of, you know, enhanced self, that by conceiving of ourselves as these super doers, as these creative combatants in a competitive arena where we shine forth or we excel in some way, where we are singled out and highlighted and focused upon, causes the human nature to want to fluff itself up and to pretty itself for the opportunity that it is somehow, some way, a aspect of being human that does indeed compel us to want to be our best or at least better selves.
And so that's very interesting. Going back to, is being aware of religion? When we talk about religion, one of the things is that when you talk about these principles, which are outside an organized religion that has been the fundamental backbone of societies for some time, there is a backlash, has been a backlash, where it's been co-opted that any of these, quote, New Age religions are cults or they're outside the purity of an organized religion because it's all about the self. And so it's almost narcissistic in to the degree that I've even read that some New Age religion is a way for people to avoid following God's law. It's all this peripheral stuff that they can create a reason why they don't have to be godly, if you will. All the way to it's just hocus pocus and the manipulation of science to accredit these wacky principles. And so when we say award yourself for being aware, there's still this, it's something as pure as awareness for many people has a connotation of something that is robbing their community or society of its God-given purity. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, God-giving capacity.
Right.
You're taking away God's right and ability.
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty to be the capacitor, to be the facilitator of one's experience. And so that's a big, big, big chasm. And there are a lot of believers who can't leave the sanctity of the house because it's so familiar to them as a way in which they're already attuned. They're already existent ethereal euphoria in whatever form it comes. In whatever state they find it, their identity of it is already associated with whatever that house of belief represents. And so it's very difficult to get people to recognize that the epiphany, if you will, that is really the deliverer, the delivering mechanism of that ethereal euphoria, the actual epiphany itself, it is the essence of any religion's, any dogma, any doctrine's desire to deliver an experience. It shows up in the epiphany, in the enlightened awakening, wherein awareness shows up.
Mm-hmm.
What else is that epiphany? What else is that if it isn't awareness?
Well, the religion in its purest form, I was reading about the origins of religion, and it's from the 13th century, and it's ultimately from the Latin root word religio, which translates reverence for God or the gods, careful pondering of divine things. It also, the origins of the Latin religio, the root of that is legare, which means to bind or connect. And so literally it means to reconnect. And so in the purest sense of the form, religions formed around community, and in the purest sense of the form, again, to connect the people to each other, i.e. forming a community. Then, when we say religion, there's the rule of law and the rule of life. So what aspect of that, what convergence of that rule of law and the rule of life then created the doctrine, which is where then it became organized into societal norms. And, of course, the control of those societal norms, the in the most base form, the shame of not in, being in keeping with those societal norms was the fear factor to keep everyone in line. Now, not to say that the rule of law and the rule of life awareness in the purest sense would tell you that you're all interconnected. Everything is interconnected, and therefore the respect for the oneness of life is, I would think, the most pure societal norm. But, of course, it's all been so far off the mark from so many people's manipulation that to think, to take us all the way that we're not interconnected so as to disparately separate us and scatter us about and create us still as a tribal culture with these organized practices that then war against each other. No wonder there's this suspicion of this searching and deep meaning of self and self's relationship to knowing, which is all about awareness.
It's so clearly stated in true, simple terms that the joy of being comes in true, full flower of that aware state of being. And when you come in contact with another where you have that shared experience, where you are able to share in that kind of joy of being, the opportunity so supersedes any of these prior delineations or definitions of structural ways of living. And that's what's so compelling about this whole idea of sustainability being the term used to try to describe what you're talking about. The very nature of what you're saying is that all the frameworks that exist that have previously defined the ways in which we live, all the ways in which the institutions that govern our daily lives, in whatever sphere of influence they operate, have all been crafted to describe a living system that no longer functions in the world in which we live today as a global family. And so we're literally living in the moment that a significant structural transformation is occurring. And so for the concept, the idea, the belief that the coming age, the coming era where the universal ethos is to so reformat itself, is to restructure itself as to literally change and extinguish life as we know it in such drastic forms by the so-called switching of the poles or the other general forces that are used to describe the impending Armageddon, of which this 2012 transformation date proclaims. The ways in which we as a human family are undergoing the type of human evolutionary transformation that these forces portend are what we're doing right here, right now, in describing this the way we are. That the ways in which we are attempting to define and describe a new living system, where we are literally reformatting, restructuring, refining, renewing the basic componentry of the way we agree to communally operate in the new global sphere as a common people, recognizing the significance that showcases itself today really isn't how much religion continues to show how different they are, but about how similar they are. How there is a growing general agreement amongst all the hierarchies of all the basic belief systems that they are fundamentally the same, expressed uniquely and individually. And so the responsibility and obligation of those rules of life, those founding principles that have formed the rules of law encased in each of our subconscious, our basic patterned belief about how life is to be led, is what the significant Armageddon is about. The absolute transformation of human understanding, of human capacity to describe and define itself anew. To recognize that the true transformation, the real Armageddon, is what's going on inside each and every one of us right this minute as we are busily transforming right in the moment, as we continue to push up against these forces, as we continue to understand our deepening, expanding awareness of how the layers all fit so seamlessly together. How complexity looks so much more unifying and balancing as opposed to viewing it in a chaotic manner, which looks like trial and travail. So out of the very trial and travail that we face lies the basis of our new understanding, our new capacity, our new awareness that is now joining together with other growing awareness to define a communal awareness that is finding root within this new global realm to showcase what a global operating system mirroring a universal operating system can deliver for each and every one of us as a personal operating system. And that's the challenge about how do we award ourselves? How do we live with that award in hand, using that award to leverage our opportunities in life, as we see each and every award winner do, as a benefit of that award to deliver themselves an expanded opportunity, an enlarged capacity, a never-ending landscape of renewable opportunity. That's where sustainability will really and truly come from.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really ultimately is about to happen. The significance of our transformation globally is to open up, to give birth to a new understanding of sustainable self. And sustainable self comes from a true recognition and acknowledgement that we are it. We deliver ourselves to ourselves and therefore deserve the award for doing so. And that's exactly where we get to shine. That's exactly what we get to do when we use our abilities to showcase for ourselves how we ourselves are able to bring the kind of light that we need to our own living system to inspire everyone within our realm to mirror that, so that we're not the only ones hard at work. That's the challenge. How do we face the opportunity where it looks like trial and travail and the forces that are mounting that look like chaos, and continue to always be capable, being responsible to deliver not only for ourselves, but for our family and for our community, the type of enlivened imagination necessary to cultivate and craft the kind of living assets we know are available in this unending bounty that we see clearly through our newfound awareness, that the opportunity the universe continues to deliver us is never ending. That the success of being self comes from empowering self to accept and receive that universal bounty and describe and declare it in as enlarged a manner as possible.
Absolutely. So well said. I mean, it's so true that our sustainability is we are our greatest renewable asset. Our system, our beautiful nervous system, our brain, our whole body is a miracle. And how our mind communes with something outside of itself, something bigger than the little body, which is connected to everything greater, because we are so connected to the universal ethos, to the universal operating system, that we simply have such a unique ability to renew every moment, and therefore to know every moment that we are so full of bounty. And it's simply switching. And this is the greatest, so articulate, that you know you liken this Armageddon that is within us, this war, if you will, taking that concept of war and simply transmuting it into the breaking down of systems without harming ourselves, literally renewing ourselves through the reorganization, through the shifting of our own perceptive abilities and knowing through our awareness of our capabilities and taking that responsibility for creating however we are able to reformat our own language links and how we therefore take the steps through our language and through our actions to articulate how we view and how we observe our own shifts. And when I say our own shifts, I mean when we recognize within ourselves our abilities to look at things from the perspective of bounty instead of lack of ability, lack of resource, and we truly know that we are connected to this endless source of bounty that empowers us to find ways, little and small, big and large, to showcase by sharing with others our revelations. And again, a term that is tied to religion, but it's revelation is a beautiful way to describe our own sense of awareness and how we're going to take that awareness and make our world and the world of those around us interconnected to be one global operating system where we have empathy and care for one another, and we don't feel the need to revert to competition in the sense of war, in the sense of harming another for our own personal gain, for the gain of our community, for the gain of our nation, for the gain of our territory. It's so outdated. And yet we've got areas of the world where we think of them as, you know, tribally insane, that they just continue to be so cruel and just terrifying upon their own people. And yet we cannot look and say that's tribal and so archaic and so unevolved, when yet we sit here in our Western world and we engage in subterfuge and lies and harming the planet in so many ways through our power. And so one is not better than the other. One is not more evolved than the other. What we have is an ability to, here we are on the internet, here we are connected, here we are having an opportunity to talk to one another about sharing these ideals that we strive for through our knowing, through our awareness, and we want to share that to simply change the way that we operate in this world. And so, therefore, there is no judgment about others. There's only deep reflection on our own abilities and, therefore, obviously, our own inabilities, our own insecurities, our own lack of that we feel about expressing this from the quiet moment within ourselves to the everyday life that we find ourselves within, It's a challenge, but it's a beautiful challenge. It's an inspiring challenge to seek ways to evolve ourselves so that we can therefore evolve the planet. So,
how we come to personal expression of sustainability.
Right.
It's really, you know, in truth, it's a way of framing the attainment of a personal operating system, you know, that gives a fundamental core thread to the basis of what your personal operating system, how it connects to your own perception of the global operating system and the role you play in the global operating system, your obligation and responsibility to the global operating system, and how that view and perception is informed vis-a-vis your own understanding, your own interpretation of the universal operating system, and however that universal operating system has been brought to bear within your life, whether it be through a particular religious doctrine or dogma or association or understanding. You know, that's the intriguing aspect to all of this challenge of how to evolve properly into this new state of being. That we've used the basis of religion, the fundamental framework of defining the term to bind us together in communal ways of believing, to inform the rules of life as we know them within those common communities. They've also acted as the basis for each of those communities to bring to bear their own idea of a societal framework and the ensuing rules of law that govern that society. And so as humans, we've been evolving both of those frameworks. The communal rules of life and the societal rules of law that enshrine our opportunity for being. And yet religion has always encompassed the use of a very personal term to describe its association with self. And that is spirit. Yet, when we look at the frameworks that have evolved to define how that ideal of spirit, personalized, takes form and function in our groups, we have come to a scientific understanding of the qualities and principles and basic life forces that drive those processes. But science is an elusive way of associating ourselves because it doesn't possess that personalizer, that personal term, as spirit does to religion. Science possesses no like term by which we all associate self to some understanding of how science influences our lives.
It's so interesting that this really highlights for me when you talk about science without that common denominator term, i.e. the spirit, yet it's so ironic that science, which is created by scientists who are people, who are beings, who, if you ask them if they had a spiritful attitude, or if they were had a team spirit, even the most hardened scientist who felt there was no breath of life of spirit within anywhere to do with science would have to, on some level, acknowledge spirit as a human being. And therefore, it's just so amazing to me that we have science and we can think that it's separate somehow. But it's like people say about technology, oh, well, technology is bad, but technology is created by us. And science is created by us. Our knowledge is how science evolves, our knowing. So again, you're so right. Spirit is that fundamental heartbeat of it all, isn't it?
Well, you know, as much as one of the things that we should share is one of the properties that we're developing and look for future engagement with is something we call Spirit Lab, the wisdom of the human spirit utilizing the laws of science. And so that's an informative statement wherein it's the laws of science that inform the living. In religion, it is spirit that informs the living. So in vis-a-vis, therein lies the dilemma of gaining broader and richer acceptance of the scientific world's principles that are at the heart of the basis of all operating systems. How do you gain access to cause people to want to join up, show the passionate belief and faith that they have in these laws of science, in the same way they throw themselves passionately into expressing the spirit of whatever religion fills them? And that's a peculiar dilemma, which is at the core and at the heart of the challenges we face today. And how we discover the state of consciousness where these things all come together, where understanding consciousness delivers our sense of knowing that can embrace all of this.
Well, I would like to close and honor everyone with a Being Aware Award. And I'm sure that anyone that's been listening that has this award already, because all of us need to award each other for these great strides that we continue to make with each other and individually. And so please hold your award up high this week and shout it out loud that you're a winner.
And please come along, share with us all of your doings every chance you get. Remember, we're at BeAwareNation.com, and we look forward to seeing you along the pathway. Here we are, getting ready to sign off again for another week. See you in the ether.
We'll see you all in the ether. And again, we wish you all a very, very beautiful week, full of knowing, full of joy. No matter what the challenges are, wear them well, wear them with love, share as much as you can, always sharing everything you can. You know, it's the greatest gift, and it will see us all through all of our challenges. The more we share, the more connected we'll be. And so thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you at Be Aware Nation. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Thank you for joining us, Be Aware People, here at Be Aware Nation, where being aware is a state to put your mind in. So come visit us at BeAwareNation.com until we can continue our conversation next Sunday at 5 p.m. here on BBS Radio Channel 1, where we'll look forward to finding out what you're doing to merge medias into your mind in a way that matters. Remember, life affirms what you believe, so don't believe everything you think. Intuit, your way home. See you in the ether!